because we get so busy at Christmas. I'm guessing that you're significantly busy for this particular Christmas season. But whether it's the setting the tree up, hanging the ornaments, the parties, the house decorations, family comes, family goes, you've got food to cook, you've got food to serve, you've got food to clean up, you've got to go to the store and you've got to buy a gift, then you've got to go back to the store again, then you have to go another place and buy another gift for another, then you got to wrap everything, then you got the Christmas cards, and you've got to help people, and you have all the laundry, you have the cleaning, you got all that. By the way, does anybody know what they call all of this? Again, I appreciate the honesty. This is what is called, and it has been for generations, it's called the trappings of Christmas.
Like I said, nuts.
So, there are those who celebrate Christmas, but it's emptiness in the celebration. Some people feel emotionally and spiritually empty. When this is and ought to be the picture that's in our heart and mind at the Christmas season. Well, with all the busyness, it is possible for us to find that we don't focus on the right person. We focus on the season. And like someone said, well, we better focus on the reason for the season. All right, I understand. But how about that we think about the truth of the person who really is the center of the season? Now, I'm going to guess you can probably try to imagine the first Christmas. The angels arrive. They announce to the shepherds that a Savior has been born. And the sign. The sign, to me, has always been interesting because the sign would be a baby in a cradle. But it wasn't a baby in an ordinary cradle. So how in the world were these shepherds going to find this cradle? They were going to have to go to stable after stable in Bethlehem until they found a baby in a manger. Now, earlier, the angel had been sent from heaven to meet with Mary. You probably remember this part of the story. And the angel came with good news. And the angel says, you are going to become a mother and not have any relations with a man. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus. A little bit of confusion, I'm sure, on Mary's part. And the angel says, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. I guess you've got to try to envision, imagine, consider what's going through the heart of this young lady. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore, the holy thing which will be born of you will be called the Son of God. You know, as part of the revelation on the birth of Jesus, we also read, of course, that from the east, probably in the region what we think of today as Iraq, some astronomers would notice a specific event taking place in the stars, and having read the scriptures and understood the scriptures that there was going to be a Messiah to be born in Bethlehem, they saw something happen in this, and they traveled, I'm guessing what, how long would it have been? Could have been 7 or 8 weeks, I don't know for sure, but probably at least 500 miles to find this king. You probably have heard let's see if I can remember. I think it was a Galileo. Let's see. No, it was Kepler. Kepler in 1614. He said that what really happened was there was a conjunction of three planets, and the three planets just moved along in the sky. And so while this caravan was coming towards Bethlehem and towards Jerusalem, they were following these planets. And he says that was the Star of Bethlehem. I'll let you figure out whether or not you agree with Kepler. There are some planetariums, by the way, where they actually show this at Christmas time, and this conjunction of the planets comes at a particular time during the year, and they say, well, this is possibly what happened. I will let you determine whether or not that's legit or not. I could not determine whether it was legit or not. But as far as a couple things I wanted to share with you today, as far as I guess you've got to try to imagine if Jesus was going to be born today. Let's just suppose that it was told to you that a mother in Clinton was going to have a child, and in a very unusual place, it was going to be in a manger in a stall in Clinton. Now, everybody here would think, not only is that strange in our modern day, but you're crazy. But with all the trappings of Christmas, I think, and I want to convey to you today something about the fact of how people today would perceive, really, if Christ was born today, or if Christ was born this Christmas season. Nobody here would believe it. You would not believe it if you were told that a single woman in Clinton was going to have it. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. But fortunately, the shepherds believed it. And fortunately, it was true. Well, I want to share with you what's on my heart today, because I do think that probably in some cases, maybe in your own heart, I don't know what's going on in your life, I don't know what's going on in your family, and I certainly could never understand what would be going on in your heart, but God does. So what's on my heart today is Christ the center of your Christmas. Lord, thank you so much for giving us your Son. For whatever's going on in our hearts and lives, Lord, we know that there is so much busyness. There is so much to do, and there is so much to think about, and there's so much to talk about, Lord. And we would pray this morning, Lord, that our hearts would find settling assurance in the truth of your Son being born into this world. I pray, Father, if there's one among us today that has never found their faith in Christ alone, we pray that they would say, yes, I believe the simplicity of the truth of the Christmas story. So we thank you for sending your Son, Lord. We thank you that he came here with good purpose. It was for us, one by one, so that we might find life in him. Help us, Lord, today as we look at your word. Help us to believe what this book says, Lord. And help us to respond to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got to try to do something with you today, but I want you to understand that I believe what it says in this book. And I want to show you why I believe the Christmas story. Those of you who have a Bible, I'd appreciate it if you'd follow along in the Bible. If not, take it from the pew in front of you. But I want you to imagine with me a couple things. The story of Christmas is true. You know how much I love history. But I'm thinking that there are probably a lot of people in your family, in our town, in our state, in our world today, that don't believe the Christmas story. They don't believe that God sent his Son into the world, and they don't believe the things that you believe with respect to the Christmas story. So I'm going to say to you this morning a couple things. And the first thing I want to say to you, there are plenty of people who say, matter of fact, a man said this to me just 2 weeks ago. He said, in essence, I don't care about the facts, I believe. In essence, he said, he didn't really care about, he says, that's not what faith is. That's what he said to me. He says, that's not what faith is. I want you to understand, folks, that faith has got to be rooted in the facts. If the faith is just faith and there's nothing to rely upon that's truthful or factual, it's really pretty crazy. Faith has got to be rooted in the facts. What does the Bible teach? Is there anybody here who would say to me, the Bible does not teach the truth? Now, I like to read. Listen, how many writers have written really nice stories over the years? Really, really good stories. I've read some books that you can't put the book down because it's such a good, well-written book. Nice stories. Could have nothing to do with the truth. You still like the story. You still profit from it. Listen, the Bible says things that are true. The Christmas story is the truth. It's the whole truth of the Christmas story, what God put in the Bible. So I want you to try to remind yourself with me this morning that there is nothing in the Christmas story that is not true. From the virgin birth to the star, right? To the wise men following the star. It's all true. It's all true. I want to start there. I want to say to you, the story is a story. It's a great story, but it's a true story. It's fact. And it's history. It was reality. It's something that you can believe in with all your heart and soul because it's the truth. I want to start there because I want you to think with me a little bit about the Christmas season, that maybe part of the reason why Christ is not the center, because we really don't believe the truth in the book. We don't believe what it says here. Because listen, folks, if the Christmas story is not true, and if there is any part of the Christmas story that is not true, if any part of the Christmas story is a lie, why should I believe anything else? If the Christmas story is just a story, a nice story, or a well-written story, why should I believe anything that Jesus said, or Paul, or any of the other apostles? If the Christmas story is not true. Now, I will frankly admit to you that the Christmas story is incredible. It's hard to believe. It is hard to believe. Star, virgin birth. It's hard to believe. Grant yourself the fact that it's hard to believe. But if it's not true, and if it's a lie, you should take your Bible and throw it out. And I mean that with all my heart. But if it is true, not only should you keep that Bible open, well read, well studied, well understood, and well obeyed, because the truth is the truth. I need the truth. Now let me try it like this. You've got two brothers, one whose name is Matthew and one whose name is Luke. All right, Matthew and Luke. Matthew, tax collector, cheater, converted to Christ, becomes a writer. Luke, medical doctor, becomes a historian. Both of your brothers here, they do the research on the life and the person of Jesus, the Christ. Now, one of them, Matthew, let's see, you've got Matthew here. He writes himself into the story. Good writer. Can write himself into the story. Your older brother here, Luke, he chooses to become a follower of Jesus after his crucifixion. But both of them feel it's very important that they should write a story about the birth of this man they call Jesus the Messiah. Now, would it make any sense for either of your brothers to write a story about someone if it wasn't true? Let's see here. Why should they create a story? No reason to add details of recent history. No reason to research the genealogy of Jesus and claim that it all took place because the Emperor Augustus Caesar had called for a census. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people who say they believe on Christ. There's a lot of people who say they believe the Christmas story. But if they believe the Christmas story is not factual, they don't believe. It's either facts and true and history, or it is a made-up story. Now, let's have one of your brothers speak up for just a moment. And he says, well, I'm not so sure about the birth. As a matter of fact, I've never really spoken to any of the shepherds. Really? You don't think that he talked to any of these shepherds when he told about the shepherds? You see, a story is a story is a story. But if it's a story built upon the facts, it's the truth, folks. Now, I'll admit to you that neither one of the brothers, neither one, Luke or Matthew, were at the birth of Christ. They were not there. As far as I know, we don't give any evidence that they were there. But couldn't they have checked the story out? Couldn't they have talked to some of the shepherds? Couldn't they have found out something about maybe the innkeeper, the inn, the events that surrounded that particular occasion? Or do you think they just made up a story to make it sound good? Listen, if they made up a story, then they'd be liars. They made up a story saying that it's true, then it wasn't, they would be liars. And by the way, good writers, they find a purpose for every part of the story that they write. I've always noticed that about good writers. Everything sort of like fits together. That's always a wonderful thing. But I'm thinking, well, why did Matthew put all these details in the book? Why did he give us the entire genealogy of Jesus going back to David if the story wasn't true? Why would it be that he was thinking, well, let's see, I've got a good story. I've got a great idea. I'm going to start with the genealogy and make up a person out of this historical genealogy. Do you really think that that's even possible? Well, maybe it's possible. But was Jesus even, was he descended from King David or was he not? Don't you think that Matthew would have checked the details? I think so. Well, Luke, Luke, you're a doctor. You're concerned with details. Now you're a historian. Why would you be concerned about when the census took place? Why would you be concerned about Mary and Joseph having to leave Bethlehem or go back to Bethlehem? Why would... The reason is because he was simply telling them a true story. I want to tell you folks that your brothers have got no reason to create a story, no reason to add the details of the recent history, no reason to research the entire genealogy and claim that it took place during the time when Caesar Augustus was an emperor when he called for a census. No reason whatsoever, unless it was true. Unless it was true. So I want to start with the fact that the Bible story is a true story. And maybe some of us, we celebrate Christmas, but we really don't put our focus upon Jesus because we're not absolutely convinced of the truthfulness of the story itself. But you've got Matthew choosing to mention some very, very specific details. Let's see if I can note one. Look with me at verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. Now look at this. Look at what he says here. Behold, while he, this is Joseph, While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and shall bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. Now watch what he says here. All this was done as a fulfillment of an Old Testament scripture, spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, and he quotes the book of Isaiah. A virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel, which be interpreted is God with us. Did you know that Matthew quotes or refers to the Old Testament in the book of Matthew 67 times? And Brother Luke, no less than 30 times does he quote or refer to the Old Testament scripture. You see, neither one of your brothers is trying to sell something that's untrue. Neither one of your brothers is trying to come up with a nice story. They're coming up with the simplicity of the story. They're coming up with the truthfulness of the story. And they're saying that it's found and taught in the Old Testament Jewish scriptures. Oh, by the way, I'm thinking about the Old Testament for just a moment. The Jewish people relied upon what the Old Testament said. And the Jewish people for centuries have been looking forward to the coming of the promised Jewish Messiah. Why? Because they believed what the scripture said. So when Matthew, he's writing about the birth of Jesus, and it was fulfilled. 67 times he refers to the Old Testament scriptures. So if you'll allow me this morning a couple things. First of all, the story is a true story. If it's a true story, it should make all the difference in the world in how you celebrate your Christmas. Number two, there are specific details given in the Bible. And then Matthew says, oh, this was a fulfillment of something that was said 800 years before it took place. Now, thirdly, I want to say this to you. Imagine your two brothers, Mark and Luth, being so ingenious and so capable that they could put a story together, and as far as we know, they didn't even discuss it with each other. And they ended up coming up with the same story. You know, I would think that they would have to have been extremely ingenious, very careful to go to the Old Testament and find these passages that perfectly fit the events in the person and the life of Christ. Listen, if it wasn't true, folks, then you don't need to believe anything in the Bible. Maybe that's why in so many places people don't celebrate the Christ of Christmas. They celebrate Christmas. They've got all the trappings of Christmas, all the gift giving and all that sort of wonderful stuff that happens at Christmas time, except they don't believe the truthfulness of the Bible and the person of Jesus. Well, there's one other thing I just wanted to mention to you. And that is the entire character of God is impugned, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if the story is a made-up story. Because Matthew and Luke talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in the story. Listen, folks, if it's only imaginary, they have both impugned the person of God. But the truth is that the whole story is God's miraculous hand all over it. Look with me at verse 21, same chapter, Matthew chapter 22. Look what Matthew says. Now, all this was done. All this was done as a fulfillment of something that was spoken by the Lord, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let me add Luke here for just a moment. Look at Luke chapter 1, and I'll show it to you. Look at verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. And then said Mary to the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Listen, folks, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is said to have been a virgin when the baby was born, having never had a physical relationship with a man. Anyone, anywhere knows that a virgin bringing a child into the world is impossible. The only way that could have happened was by a supernatural intervention by God Himself. Listen, folks, if any part of this story was fiction, you don't have to believe any of it. If any part of it was fiction, you don't have to believe any of it. I think that had these men wrote that story and it not be true, they would be impugning the very character of the Lord Himself. Now, there's lots of stories that you read. They are not true stories. They're made up stories. And there's something to learn from those stories. I've read hundreds and thousands of books. But there's one book that I know every single time when I read the words on that page, I'm reading the truth that came right from the very heart of Almighty God. I don't think that these men would say anything untrue. I don't think anything in the Christmas story is a lie. I want you to believe the book. I want you to believe the facts. I want you to believe the history. I want you to say, my faith is in the truth. I believe that Christ came into this world through Mary, a virgin. I believe, say in your heart this morning, if you truly believe the truth of Christmas, that puts Jesus back in the center. Is there anybody here today that believes the story of the birth of Jesus? I have a suggestion for you. Now you're going to say to me, well, yes, Pastor, I believe. If that's the case, why don't you do something this week about it? Why don't you find somebody, family, friend, I don't know, stranger, and ask them this question. Do you believe the story of the birth of Jesus? You don't think that would open up a door of opportunity? They say no. Opens up the door of opportunity. Why not? Yes. Well, you really believe, you say, you really believe it's factual? And you'll have a great opportunity to tell them the simplicity of the truth of the story of the birth of Jesus. And of course, you will then have further opportunity to tell them the truth about the life of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I'm going to say to you folks, my final point this morning, if you can find any part of the Christmas story that is a lie, you need to close your Bible and never read it again. That's the simplicity of the truth. It's either the truth or it's a lie. If there are lies in the Bible, then you shouldn't believe any of the Bible. If these men wrote a story, and a nice story, a wonderful story, a cute story, and it not be true, then you are believing a lie. But if it is true, you see the difference that it makes in your soul today? The truth is the truth. You cannot argue against the reality of things that are true. You can try mentally, but in your spirit, you know better. The book is true. The story is true. And if that is the case, what we have is the person of Jesus who did die and was crucified for your sins. He rose from the dead, and he is alive today. Secondly, I'd like you to take and reread the Christmas story by yourself this week. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to read what my brother Matthew wrote about you. And then go over and say, Lord, I'm going to read what my brother Luke said about you, Lord, when you came into this world. I think you're going to find out something that you've never seen before. The simplicity of the Christmas story is the truth and the truthfulness of the Christmas story. I think that you're going to find more so in the Christmas story by saying to God, I believe the truth. Listen, it's an impossible story. God became a man. Virgin brings a baby into the world. Wise men follow a star. Listen, either he is the center or he's not the center. If you want to make yourself the center, I don't think you're ever going to find the truth. But when you choose to put Jesus Christ as the center, not only of Christmas, the center of history. Well, who split the world in half from B.C. to A.D.? Anybody any idea who did that? Who split the world in half? All of history is dated every time you write. Every single time you put that 2017. Every single time you think of that. The person of Christ has so affected history. And he's affecting you. He's the center of history. But folks, more important than anything else, is he the center of your life, or are you still at the center? Are you still the most important person in your life? Listen, when Christ becomes the center, life begins to work. Doesn't mean there aren't problems. Doesn't mean there aren't difficulties. Doesn't mean there isn't suffering. Doesn't mean there aren't challenges. But when Christ becomes the center, everything begins to work. Put him as the center of your heart and your life. Would you believe with me today the Christmas story? Would you believe the truth of the Christmas story? That it is not a made-up story, it is not a fairy tale, and there is not a single lie on one page of the Christmas story in your Bible. I believe the birth, I believe the life, I believe the death, I believe the resurrection, I believe the ascension, and I believe the second coming of Jesus to reign as king over this world. Listen, folks, he took upon himself your sins when he went to the cross. Christmas story always points to the cross story. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. So what have you done with the Christ of Christmas and the cross of Christ? What have you done with his free offer of salvation? The Bible says there, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, there's no salvation if it's your goodness and your effort and your energy and your power and your merit. If it's dependent upon you, there's no salvation. But if it's simple faith in the person of Christ, you get all your sins washed away. You get the promise of heaven, and you get Christ living in you. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you're here today and this is the first time you understood the message of Christmas and the cross, today is the day that you change your mind about God and Christ and sin and faith and salvation and believe on one man, one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And say to him this prayer: I admit I'm a sinner and deserve judgment for my sins, and say, I believe that Jesus died in my place on Calvary to remove the judgment. Please save me today. Simple faith in the Son of God. I'm so glad today somebody gave me the message. Are you glad somebody brought you the message? How about going out this week and asking somebody if they believe the story of Christmas? See if it doesn't open up some hearts to you to hear the wonderful message about the truth of Christ. Our last song, don't open your hymnals, but our last song I want to put on the screen. So I want to see if we can put this last song on the screen, and then we're going to sing it. Let's see if we can find it. Can we find it, Peter?